Father, we praised you on Friday for your work in and through Jesus to defeat sin and forever nail it to the cross. And today we come to celebrate you that our great enemy death was shattered when Jesus Christ was ripped from the grave. And so would you right now, through your grace, help us to see and love and experience the resurrection even this morning in a way that will forever change our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, have a seat. He is risen. That wasn't very good. He's risen. All right, that's better. The thing that hit me this morning is I was up and waiting for the sun to rise and just kind of sitting out here looking around, was that we weren't going to be the first people on this planet today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Like, you think about it, every hour around the globe, a group of people are celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus today. We're just part of a long line of it. And on that day, just think about it, that Jesus Christ was ripped from the grave. It was a statement that I think we forget about, those of us that are followers of Jesus, and how amazing it was. He was making a statement that we can now mock death, that he was defeating death, conquering it, and now those of us that know Jesus will never, ever have to face death again in the way that we used to experience it. Now, forever, we live in this thing called life. Now, I'm glad, because I'll tell you what, anybody I talk to anymore just talks about, I'm just trying to find life. I want life. And the thing that we miss in this whole finding of life is that Jesus Christ is the life. And so what we're celebrating today is actually what I think our whole globe and every person that's ever looked on it has been looking for, is this life that Jesus Christ offers. I believe deep within every kid, I look around and see the little ones here, man, you know this, when you're little, aren't you just, have you had this insatiable desire and longing for life? You go through everything, you kind of haven't been crusty yet, you know, in regards to this life not working out the way that you wanted to, and so in it, you just are pursuing it with everything you have, and everything's exciting, and everything is new. Getting ready for graduations, I read a book on graduations, doesn't that sound exciting? And in reading this book, man, everybody in their speeches is talking about carpe diem. Seize the day. Bloom where you're planted. Make the most of this life. Go get as much as you can, meaning go spend as much as you can, waste it wantonly. Go get your name on the wall of a charity. Go do all these different things. We're constantly telling people, pursue life, pursue life, pursue life. And then the harder we go after it, and you know this, is that the harder we begin to pursue life, doesn't it feel kind of in a weird way like trying to grasp at water? We grab for it for everything that we can, and it seems like this thing that's just out of touch from us, but we keep grabbing onto it, thinking, finally I'll find this life sometime. It reminds me of a story that I read one time about Michelangelo, a young artist, had been chiseling out this angel, and in chiseling out this angel, he finally got done, and he thought, what a masterpiece. I need to go ask the master about my angel. He goes and gets Michelangelo and says, could you come look at my angel? So Michelangelo shows up, and he's kind of walking around it, and he's looking at it, and kind of looked at it from every single angle, and he looked at the young man, and he says, it's only missing one thing, and he walked out the door. Well, the young man is sitting there going, well, what is it? And he was embarrassed to go ask him, what's the one thing? And so he found a buddy, and he's like, hey, could you go ask Michelangelo, like, what is it missing? So the guy goes off, and he comes to Michelangelo's house and kind of was beating around the bush. And finally he said, you know that angel we were looking at? You said it's only missing one thing. What's it missing? He says, it's missing life. In an interesting way, I feel like all of us on the globe, we chisel away at life as frantically as we can, and yet at the end of it, we still haven't found life. And then what starts to happen to us is the moment that we can't find it, then we think, okay, well, I'm just going to try to get just a little bit of life. I'm going to hew out for myself just as much of life as I can, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And we become apathetic, and even some people then move on and just think this is a hopeless pursuit to go after life. We just have this way in which we're after life for everything we are. And so the question in the back of my head, is it pointless? Well, if everybody thinks that life can be had, then shouldn't there be a way to go after it? The beauty of what the Bible talks about is that, yes, there is life. In fact, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, this is the thing we've got to wrap our mind around. He said this to people, I have come that you may have life, and not just have any life, but you might have full life. All throughout the book of John, if you've ever read it, this gospel that was written by one of the closest men to John, he keeps talking about this idea of living and live and life. Constantly, just the life of Jesus is resonating with this reality that there is life. And in fact, I think people saw him and realized there is life. This guy somehow has figured out something that we haven't. So the question in our back of our heads that I think we have to answer on this resurrection morning, what did Jesus figure out? One of the ways that I was thinking about it this week on what he figured out is that finding life is kind of counterintuitive. I don't know how many of you grew up in a cold climate, but I grew up in Wyoming. It's this one state that most of you don't know about that's east of here, so I'll just leave it at that. One day I was driving. I love basketball. I was leaving playing. I was just a gym rat, so I was leaving, and I was turning onto this major road called the Douglas Highway. And so I had this beautiful 1972 orange with a black stripe Ford Vega. Hot ride. And I go to turn onto the road, you know, and it was icy and I was young and I didn't know what I was doing. It was a stick shift. And so I'm like, well, it wasn't, it was more like, but I still went around that corner fast. And as I went around the corner, all of a sudden my wheels broke loose. And as they broke loose, I quickly turned away from the skid and I just started to spin down the middle of the Douglas Highway, and cars are going by me. And I'm like, ah, Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, I'm just like, ah. Finally, I stopped and I'm like in the middle of the whole road. And it's that moment where you're like, and it was a stick shift and I just learned to start driving stick and I was faced uphill. I literally backed up probably a quarter of a mile until finally I could get where there wasn't an uphill so that I could get out of there. I came home and I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, you've got to help me with this whole ice thing. I just do not understand it. And he goes, Todd, it's because if you mean to turn left, you need to turn right. Thank you, Gandhi. Yes. He took me down to a parking lot, and it was like one of the most momentous days of my life because I learned how to turn into the skid. He goes, okay, I want you to get going about 10, 15 miles an hour, and then I want you to turn this corner. And when you start to get around the corner, I want you to bring it back to the right, and you'll watch as your car will just bring it back in. And that first time I did it, it was like, yes! And then I'm like, I mean, it was like this little racetrack for me going around and around, learning how to turn into the slide. See, the one thing that Jesus demonstrated over and over and over again is how counterintuitive he was. He was so counterintuitive in so many different ways in which literally people would come to him and he's healing the blind and touching those that nobody wanted to be around. He would hang out with the tax collectors. He would hang out with the prostitutes. He would hang out with the drunks. Jesus was just this guy and everybody respected him for it. His life was just counterintuitive. Maybe you've even seen this movie before. Anybody seen Cars? Classic. Do you remember when Doc challenges Lightning McQueen to a race on the dirt track? And Lightning McQueen is sitting there at the, you know, at the thing, and he takes off and he goes around the first corner and he comes to the second corner and he didn't know that you're supposed to turn left to go right and he goes off into the ravine. See, I feel like that's where most, who said, oh yeah, who gave me the amen? I'm going to give you this car when I'm done because of that, okay? Yes. Okay. Now, the curious thing that happened, though, is when Lightning McQueen is asking Doc, how did you turn the corner? He said exactly what my dad said to me. You have to turn left to go right. It's counterintuitive. And probably the most counterintuitive moment ever was finally when Lightning McQueen, though, didn't just hear you have to turn left to go right, but he got to watch Doc actually pull it off. And finally, he was like, Eureka, that's how you do it. See, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that's exactly what he did. He lived so counterintuitively. He lived in one way, we would say this, to the very end. And when he's sitting in Gethsemane in this week that we're celebrating, he's praying before the Father, and in it we feel the quandary of the skid of life. He's sensing in this moment, he's about ready to go to the cross, and everything in him is telling him, turn away from the skid. But he kept saying, no, Father, not my will, but yours. And in this momentous moment, he decides to go to the cross, and he turns into the skid. The consequences for him were massive, but the consequences for humanity were even larger. See, humanity keeps turning away from the skid. The Bible calls this rebellion, where we just keep rebelling against God. He's telling us, no, turn into the skid. And we keep telling him, skip you. I understand things the way they're supposed to be. I'm going to turn away from the slide. And over, even people of us that are here, even me standing here, we've ended up in the ravine of life because we didn't learn in order to go right or in order to go to left, we have to turn right. But the thing Jesus got, though, was that he understood what was on the other side of the skid. On the other side of the skid was life. On the other side was not just any life, but what he called all throughout the book of John, this eternal life, this full life, life as God intended it. In other words, this one who was ripped from the grave demonstrated he wasn't just any man. It wasn't just any kind of logic that he was pursuing. This was the God-man, and I can trust him. If he says this is how life is supposed to be, I can follow him into that. A few days before that, as an example, all of them are walking back to Jerusalem, and Jesus keeps telling them, I'm going there to die, and I'm going to be raised the third day. Well, finally, Peter had had enough of this death talk, and he's like, Jesus, come here. God forbid, what are you thinking, man? I will never let you go back and die. Now, I get Peter. Jesus had been promising them, I'm going to give you life and life like you've never understood it before. And then he says, I'm going to die. And Peter's like, that makes no sense. He saw Jesus starting to skid. And he said, Jesus, turn away from the skid. Turn away from the skid. Jesus looks back at him. Here's his words. Now, if Jesus says this to you, you have botched it. Get behind me, Satan. Peter, you're thinking like a human. You need to think like God who created this entire universe. And then he's going to teach him about the skid. Now, here's the thing that we got to get. For all of us that are trying to find life, that are after it, and I make this mistake all the time, and probably you're the same way if you're honest, is that we're so after life that we've missed the main thing. And Jesus sits down to him and he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, do you want to find life? If you want to find life, then take up your cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whatever who loses his life for my sake will find it. Here's the mystery of life. If you want to find life, it's not found pursuing your own whims and your own desires and your own goals and all those things that intuition in my head and my friends and my self-help books and even, God forbid, Satan tells us, is that we have to turn against the skid, which means I turn against myself and towards God, believing that he has the answers. In this moment, he was giving him the secret of finding life. Now, this is so important. See, for many of us that are sitting here today, we are desperately trying to find life. And Jesus, it wasn't just that he was asking Peter to deny himself. It wasn't just that he was telling him to take up his cross and follow him. He wasn't just saying these things for no reason, because he also included in there, follow me. See, to turn into the skid isn't to turn away from something. To turn into the skid, according to the Bible, is actually to turn into Jesus, the very one who conquered death, who rose from the grave, and now is the one who is the resurrection and the life, John 14:6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, now, I don't have to turn towards all those other things. I don't have to find my satisfaction in life, whatever it might be. You just have to find not one thing, but one person, and once you've found Jesus, you have found life. I can end your worry motor, your pursuit motor, all these things that are after, because Jesus said, you pursue me and all these things will be added unto you. But be careful. See, a lot of times then people say, well, great, I want life. I could really care less about Jesus. But if I have to be able to do the Jesus thing in order to get life, then I'll go after him. But Jesus doesn't play that game. Jesus, in this moment that he's walking through on his way there, wants them to understand that to come after me for my things is just to use me. All of us in this room have been used or we've used people before. It's not to go after the things that he can give us, but to go after the person. The very one that Colossians 1 says created this entire universe, that created the sun that's causing me to sweat profusely to give us life. He's the God that adores us, John 3:16, that loved the world and sent his son to die so that we might have eternal life. I'm not going to him because of what he can give me. I'm going to Jesus because he is the most beautiful, worthwhile pursuit in all of your life. Now, for those of you that are sitting here today that don't know Jesus, let me just say this to you. You're at a key moment right now. I know you've been after life and after life. You've been trying to get it. And right now, there's a beautiful skid that's taking place that you can either choose to say, that's ridiculous, and I'm going to walk away from it. That dude up there, he's from Wyoming. What does he know what he's talking about? Or right now, you can turn into the skid and you can come to know Jesus Christ. Today. See, the beauty of the cross is for all of us that have turned away from the skid and we constantly are getting ourselves into a ravine that have told God, I don't care what you've told us to do. The Bible calls that sin. Is the beauty is that Jesus paid for it totally now. I no longer have to live in shame. I no longer have to live in guilt. I now can approach the one, as we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews, and I would suggest if you're not part of here, you come and hear more about Hebrews. But I now can approach this one because I have access to the very God of the universe who chooses to forgive. Forgive my sins, not just kind of, completely. And then he rose from the grave, demonstrating that on the other side of it, there'll be life. Now, don't get me wrong, there's consequences. I have to choose to say to God, God, I have tried it my own way. I have continually driven into the ravine. I submit to you. I surrender. If that's you today, there's two booths back in the back. They would love to talk with you about what does it mean to come into surrender to Jesus, to know Jesus, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus. But now all the rest of us in here that are believers, you know this. It's not just a one-time thing, is it? Our life is full of moments in which we in our head are going, I need to turn away from the skin. What do I do? Romans 12 says, I just keep turning into Jesus. Is there consequences? There's always consequences, but it's like Jesus, the capacity to see through whatever is coming our way, that on the other side of that, we will always find life. It's a moment by moment decision. What the resurrection tells us is no matter what, when I turn into Jesus, on the other side of it, I will always find life, even in the darkest moments. That's the resurrection. The beauty of today is we can stop all of our other pursuits. You don't have to find things. You just have to turn into Jesus. If today you wanted to get baptized, we're going to be baptizing people. We would love to baptize you. If you want to ask about how I can know Jesus, you can come over to this tent, those tents. I mean, shoot, come talk to me. I don't care. If you're somebody that needs prayer, we would love to pray for you. But can everybody stand up? All of you here today, as followers of Jesus, I'm here to free you of trying to find life in any other way besides Jesus. I'm here now to tell you, the Bible says, you can quit all those other things, and you can now, through the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, all of you in here now, because of the resurrection, can find life in the person of Jesus. And so with that being said, let me say this to all of you. He is risen. Well, that wasn't very good. He is risen. Now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, enjoy the life that Jesus Christ provides. Amen? Amen. All right.